We're going to look again this evening at Philippians 4, and the verses that we're going to read again are from verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4 to verse 7. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, we're going to have a wee recap of what we looked at this morning, just for a few moments. Paul is telling the Philippian church, do not be anxious. Prayer brings peace. Do not be anxious. Prayer brings peace. As somebody says, why worry when you can trust? It's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. We heard that this morning. So the first thing we looked at this morning was that the Lord does not want you to be anxious. Doesn't want any of his children to be anxious. And then we looked at what is anxiety from a biblical perspective, and we saw that anxiety came into the world when Adam and Eve sinned and fell. And we can picture in our minds, after they sinned and they tried to hide from God, they must have been anxious. They must have been worried. And you can just picture them sewing the fig leaves together in nervous anxiety. So this is the first time that anxiety came into the world, that sense of being vulnerable, that sense of being apprehensive. The first time it was felt by humanity. And we saw this morning that this is not the state of emotional experience that God intended for his people. This is not what he wanted for his people. Proverbs tells us anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And then we looked at characters from the Old Testament who suffered from anxiety. We're not alone if we suffer from anxiety. Hannah, remember in 1 Samuel, with her fight with Penina. Elijah, Mount Carmel, Moses even, suffered from anxiety at one time or more in his life. And you can think of many more yourselves. And then we looked at a scientific perspective. What is anxiety? And we see that anxiety is a sense of fear and apprehension. We saw that. And it puts you on alert. That's what it does. It gives you a heightened sense of awareness, which is sometimes good. We saw perhaps if you're a policeman or a soldier or some threat is coming to you in everyday life. A car is coming and anxiety is a good thing in one way. You move out of the way. However, when we feel excessive anxiety, we live in a constant state of fear. We go into that flight, run away or fight. It's not what the world says, flight. Or fright. We know that tense sensation in our stomachs when we're anxious. That dread. We've all experienced it at some time in our lives. And Paul does not want the Philippians to be anxious or overly anxious. And we looked at some of the things that they might have been anxious over. Their assurance of salvation, which he addressed in Philippians 1:6. What does he say? He says, he who began a good work, that is God, he began a good work in their lives, and he will see it through, all the way through to the day when Jesus will return. They're safe with Jesus. Don't be anxious about that, he's saying. Or perhaps about the false teachers, the dogs, Paul calls them. Don't be anxious about them. You had the two ladies falling out in the church. They might have been anxious about that. We saw that as well. Paul simply tells them, do not be anxious about anything. And we looked also at Jesus. He didn't want his disciples anxious either. He says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink. What does he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things that you're anxious about. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. And then we looked, our second point was rejoicing and gentleness are not fruits of anxiety. What does he tell them in these verses? He says rejoice. He says it twice. Rejoice. Rejoice. Do not be anxious. He tells them to be reasonable. Let your reasonableness or your gentleness or your Christian witness and your character make it be known to everybody, he says. And it's a great theme of Philippians is rejoicing. And the joy that we have in Jesus. We also looked at Jesus when the disciples came back to him. Remember, the Lord had sent them out on their missionary journey. And all these great things were happening. Spirits were coming, evil spirits were coming out of people. People were being converted and the disciples were rejoicing at this. And he says to them, do not rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now Paul earlier, a few verses earlier, talks about his co-workers, your names are in the book of life. Rejoice. You have nothing to be anxious about. And then he tells them, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Be gentle, balanced, intelligent, have a decent outlook on life. Jesus himself says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's what we looked at this morning. Do not be anxious. Rejoice in the Lord. And let your gentleness and your kindness be known to everyone you come across. And he also says to them, what does he say in verse 5? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Another reason not to be anxious. What does he mean? The Lord is at hand. Well, we have two options here. Is he talking about the Lord's return? About the day of the Lord, which he has already spoken about. A day that Christians are to look forward to. The day where Jesus will return for you and me. And take us to be with him. The Lord's return. He's spoken about it a couple of times. He talks about the day of Christ. He refers to your salvation will be complete. You will be the finished product. You are a work in progress. You'll be a finished product when Christ returns. That should take away our anxiety. That should help us to rejoice. He also talks about the day of Jesus in chapter 2. He says that day every knee should bow or will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So he's already hinted through the letter about Jesus returning. Also Paul is saying that he will be delighted and he will be proud. And he will acknowledge and the Lord will acknowledge the work that Paul has done in the Philippians. He took the gospel to them. They were converted. And Paul is proud of them. They had his crown. He loves them. He really does love this little Philippian church. It's his favorite. I believe it's his favorite church. It's his favorite. It's such a warmth to his tone in speaking to them. And he's also spoken as well of the Lord's return. And when he returns, he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. And when you think about that, and when you meditate upon that, then anxiety should go. Be no anxiety that day. No anxiety that day. You see, the Lord's return is a source of both great comfort and yet it is a powerful incentive for evangelism, because Christ is returning. It's also a great incentive for us to live godly lives as he's exhorting them all the way through this letter to live lives worthy of the gospel. Take your citizenship, which is in heaven, seriously. Now, the second interpretation we could have that the Lord is at hand is that the Lord's presence is with his people always. Do you think that's the interpretation? I think it's both. But the second interpretation is that the Lord's presence is with us always. Always. The psalmist says the Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. What have we just done in prayer? We have called upon the Lord. Just like the psalmist. That's what we've done. That's what we do each time we gather together. That's what we do each time we pray ourselves. We're calling on him. And the psalmist says the Lord is near, is close to all who call on him. Psalm 34:18 tells us the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, or the anxious, or the overly anxious. Those who are depressed, he's near to them. He's near to them. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. It's anxiety, isn't it? Crushed in spirit. Anxiety. Same idea. James exhorts us. What does he say? He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's quite a thought. It's quite a thought. So, as I've said, I think Paul's meaning here that the Lord is at hand has a double meaning. The Lord is about to return. We don't know when. But in the meantime, the Lord is close and near to his people. It's a double meaning. He's returning soon. But we're to take that comfort and encouragement. Because the Lord is with us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Lord is near. If you were asked, what's the big idea of the Christian life? How would you answer? Well, R.C. Sproul answers by saying this. He says, the big idea of the Christian life is Coram Deo. Coram Deo captures the essence of the Christian life. What is Coram Deo? The Latin phrase literally refers to something that takes place in the presence of God or before the face of God. Your lives are spent before the face of God and in the presence of God. To live Coram Dei is to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. God's presence is always with you. That's what it means. And so it is. As we said earlier, when you're waiting in the surgery or in the hospital, when we're anxious, when we're worried, when we don't know what the future holds for us, you are there in the presence of God. God's presence is with his people always. And as we said this morning, when the phone rings in the middle of the night at 4 o'clock in the morning and you know that that phone call is not going to be good, you pick up the phone in the presence of God. Always before the face of God. The Lord is never far away from his people. And Paul is saying, do not be anxious about anything. Do not let anxiety rob you of experiencing the Lord's nearness. And so it does. So it does. We know that through personal experience. You see, the Lord wants you to experience his peace. Verse 7. What does he say? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul lets the Philippians know that this peace, which surpasses all understanding, is guarding them. Their hearts, their minds, that whole beings is being guarded by God, by God's peace. This is the peace the apostle wants them to experience in their lives, rather than being anxious. The peace that God possesses is available to all his children. This is God's peace. It's not a created peace. It's the peace of God. God himself is not beset with anxieties, is he? No. He's perfectly at one with himself. Perfectly. Perfect love in the perfect Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there is no anxiety there. The Christian is at peace with God, as Paul tells us in Romans 5:1-2. What does he say? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice, there he goes again, in the hope of the glory of God. When we're saved, and when the Lord enters into our experience by his grace and by his love, he turns us from an enemy into a friend. In fact, into a child of his. That's peace. That is peace. And it's always through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah the prophet saw the peace that Christ would purchase for his people when he said, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." Do you trust God? Is your mind on God? And there you have that perfect peace. We looked last Sunday night at the world, people in the world looking for peace in all sorts of ways and places. And we said how they will never find peace until they find the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ finds them. Jesus himself said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And Paul's benediction in his letter to the Thessalonians was, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way, in every way, in every aspect of your lives." So what does Paul tell us about this peace that we can have with God? Well, he tells us two things. The first is, it surpasses all understanding. It is beyond all human comprehension. That's what we possess. What we possess is beyond all human comprehension, beyond all reasoning, because it is God's peace. The world, as we saw last week, cannot understand this peace. Only those who have put their trust and faith in Jesus know what this peace is. It rises above the mind and it stills it. It calms it. It is unique. Absolutely unique. Paul in Ephesians tells us, "For he himself, that is Christ, is our peace." Christ himself is our peace. That peace where we can be still and know that God is God. Where you sit and you think of Christ, you're still and you know that you're at one with God. That is peace. Paul shows us the God who can still our minds and relieve our anxieties. He shows us the God of peace. And what does he say? Who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. This is the God that we serve. The one who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. The wonder of God's peace, and he wants the Philippians to experience it. He wanted this little Philippian church to know what it was. He's saying, don't be anxious. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Have faith in God. Have faith in what Christ has done. Have faith you're safe for time and for eternity. So what else does Paul tell us about God's peace? Well, he tells us it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And the amazing thing is that God has this superintendence even over our thought life. Even over our thought life. And the image he gives us here is a military one. And it would have had special significance in Philippi, because at the gates of Philippi there were Roman soldiers who were guarding this city and all their cities, and they would have given their lives for the protection of the people within the city walls. They were preserving the peace of Philippi. God is preserving and guarding the hearts of his minds and minds of his people. Guarding, watching, never sleeping. Always awake, always aware. That's who guards us, our hearts and our minds, is God himself. God himself. The whole of our inner life, our feelings, our thinking, our willing, being guarded by God. He's guarding those who are united to him. By Jesus, who are united to Christ. How are we united to Christ? Well, we are united to him in his death and in his resurrection. You know, and we know that having peace and this understanding and experiencing this peace from God does not mean that life is going to be easy. Absolutely not. That's not what we're saying. That's not what the Bible's saying. And I've said it before, sometimes the Lord will calm the storm. But sometimes he lets the storm rage and he will calm his child. Isn't that what he does? In times of trouble and in times of anxiety, our circumstances may not change. But our outlook might change. So how do we realize and experience the fullness of this peace? Well, it's quite simple. God's avenue for you to experience his peace is prayer, with thanksgiving. It's no secret. Prayer is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. Paul shows the Philippians very clearly that for them to grow and mature and not to be anxious, they ought to pray. But to pray also with thankfulness, with thankful hearts. Not just with a shopping list of requests, but a thankful heart. This is God's avenue to experiencing his peace. It was Jesus' avenue when he was on this earth to experience the peace of God. Luke tells us he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He would go off on his own. After working all day, preaching, teaching, healing, he was tired, he was hungry, and he was thirsty. What would he do? He would go and pray, because he knew that he needed that strength from God. He would go off and pray to his Father in heaven. If Jesus has to do it, how much more do we? How much more do we? Likewise, the Philippians are exhorted to do the same. And here Paul uses three words for types of prayer. Verse 6, isn't it? Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. But what is paramount here is that they pray with thanksgiving. If they are anxious, then request that God release them from anxiety. He does not give them a magic formula, but implied within his tone is to pray with a believing heart and an expectant heart. Be expectant when you pray. Believing. Peter tells us to be casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Paul knew fine the antidote to anxiety was prayer, because he himself, he prayed continuously. He's always at prayer. He's in a cell, chained to a guard. He's praying for this little Philippian church, and for the Corinthian church, and for the Ephesian church, and for the folk back at Jerusalem. And for all he knew, his head could have been chopped off the next day, but he's praying for them all, and he lets them know that he is always praying for them. The apostle tells us to pray in every situation in all things. Jesus said of his Father, "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him?" Ask him. Pray to him. The point is that even God, if he does not answer our prayers on specific things we pray, and we pray for something and say it does not happen, the actual drawing near to God in prayer gives us that peace. The actual act of faith and coming to God in prayer gives us that peace, whether our petitions and requests are answered or not, or answered the way we would like. Sometimes we're told to wait. Sometimes the Lord says no. But the actual coming to the Lord in prayer is where we get our peace from. God's avenue for you to experience his peace is prayer with thanksgiving. This thanksgiving, and this thanksgiving most of all for Jesus, of course, it is an integral aspect of the Philippians' faith and ours. That's when we pray here. We always thank God for his Son. Thanksgiving. Also, thanksgiving for all past blessings in our lives, in our family lives, in church life, work life, whatever. You know, the Lord has worked powerfully among them, and Paul himself could testify to that. The gospel came into this city and it turned it upside down. People converted, coming to Christ. A pagan city touched by the gospel. And Paul was thankful for that. You know, there is a wise saying that says, those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. I quite like that saying. It's not a spiritual saying. But could you turn it into a spiritual? Is there a spiritual aspect to this saying? Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. You know, we are really quick to forget, aren't we? We are so quick to forget past periods in our own lives, periods of trials and anxieties, times we have turned to God in prayer and the Lord has taken us through it. Many times, yeah? Many, many times. He has given us this peace, whether our prayer was answered the way we wanted it or not. And if I was asked you to sit down and write down every time that the Lord has helped you through anxious situations, we'd be here for a while, wouldn't we? But we're so quick to forget. We're so quick to forget. Do you know, when we're going through times of anxiety or anxiousness, or maybe not, maybe we're fine, we need to keep praying. And when you're finished praying, you pray some more. And when you're finished praying, pray some more. And pray anywhere. In our thoughts, in our minds, wherever we are, we can be at one with God, praying. It is the Lord's avenue to experiencing the peace he wants us to have. It's how we grow. It's how we grow and become more Christ-like. You know, neglecting this avenue of prayer can have dire consequences in our own lives. It does. We can come to a fork in the road in situations in our lives, and we can either lack faith and not pray and go one way, or we can be faithful and pray and go the Lord's way. Paul is saying to the Philippians and to you and I, do not be anxious. Prayer brings peace. It's a story of a man who went on a plane back in the day when planes weren't as high tech as they are today. And he was going from one state in the United States to another state, and there was not many on the plane, he says. And he sat down and the plane took off. There was about 10 of them or so. And the plane, they had a terrible journey. Turbulence everywhere. There was bits falling off the plane. And it was awful. Awful. There was people sick. There was people crying. There was people praying. It was just awful. And he says everyone was anxious. Apart from one little girl. And she slept for a wee while. She woke. She read a book. And he was amazed at this little girl. So when they landed, they got through it, and they landed at the airport. He had to ask the little girl. He says to the little girl, "How come you were so calm through all that turbulence and through all that bad weather? How come you weren't anxious and afraid like we were?" You know what she answered? "Because my daddy's the pilot, and he's taking me home." Same with us. Do not be anxious. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we indeed thank you for your word. And indeed we thank you, O Lord, for that app.